Thanks for tuning in to WNCW's Arc Overnight. I'm Joe Kendrick. As we look back on 20 years of late-night radio here at WNCW, Arc started in 1992, the Alternative Radio Coalition, the grassroots movement from Charlotte, and folks that came all the way over to Spindale to stay up all night long and spin tunes in the wee hours. And we're talking to a lot of the former hosts and founding members of the Alternative Radio Coalition today. Very happy to be talking with Roger Raymer. How you doing, Roger?
I am all right, Joe. Most excellent. Glad to be here.
Well, very glad to have you. And your recollections of those first days of Arc Overnight, you were in with that group of folks that were meeting at Loopy's Cafe in Charlotte, disgruntled with the radio choices on the dial. Tell us about those beginnings of Arc.
Firstly, yeah, I was thankful to be in the Charlotte music scene, you know, with Fred Mills and Kevin Morgan, who was a writer there at Creative Loafing, and a bunch of other folks hanging out at the Milestone and other joints in town, and got asked to come to the early meetings. And initially, there was no name. It was just like, we want to start a radio station. We want to start a radio station. We were sitting down at Loopy's one night and going around with names. Phil Rutledge, a professor out at UNCC, came up with the name ARC, Alternative Radio Coalition. He, at the time, was part of Z-Axis that developed the Reb and Jeb Helms and Unknown Henson and all that stuff, a fun bunch of people who are doing public access video stuff. But then you had your Dick Huey, your Chris Calloway, and all these people who helped really spearhead it. But the pivotal moment was we're sitting there at Loopy's, probably about eight people, and talking about it and all. And I had not listened to WNCW at the time. This was 1991. In walks this fellow, Ronnie Dotson. I think he's from the Shelby area. And he had heard about the meeting, so he came in. He said, "Hey, anybody ever here ever listen to WNCW? And we were like, "No, what's that?" So we go out to a car, tune it in. It's a little scratchy on the dial there, but we can get the gist of it. And we're like, "Dang, that's what we want to do." So we found basically Nirvana. Thus is the story, because Dick and Chris Calloway, maybe a few others, went up to the station and met Burr Beard and Greg Hills after that, and they were pretty smart, because they sensed this group from Charlotte, and they said, "Well, we got some off-air time from 2 to 6. Why don't y'all get some training in here, and then when you feel comfortable, you can go start your own station." Well, starting a radio station ain't cheap and ain't easy. So it was a wonderful way to help WNCW go 24 hours and just keep spreading the world of wonderful music that WNCW does. That was ARC's mission.
Well, tell me about when you began, how you would pair up with folks, and you met a couple of new friends this way. The strategy was that they wanted maybe two or three people to be on the air at the same time to help, you know, drive back after being up all night and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah. That part was rough because, you know, you're not getting there till midnight or 1 a.m., and you've probably already been up all day, so you're kind of tired. And the drive back, thankfully I had friends in Kings Mountain to stay with, because it was brutal. The drive back, all the way back to Charlotte one time, I remember nodding off and coming to as a guardrail was 20 feet in front of me. We would pair up in groups, and we were encouraged. It was just the funniest thing. In those first meetings, Burr and Greg were saying, "Why are people listening to the radio from 2 to 6 a.m.? Because they want to or need to be awake. So keep them awake. Don't play boring music. You know, no classical, because WDAV was a few numbers over on the dial, and no profanity." It was pretty simple rules. Don't bore them, no classical, and no profanity. So people started hollering out, "Hey, can we play Black Flag? Can we play Captain Beefheart? Can we play, you know, some African music, whatever?" And they're like, is it exciting? Is it profanity? Just just follow the criteria and have fun. That was basically it. And in addition to all that, we got trained by Bill Buchinski, which was just priceless. The original wild man there at WNCW, he turned us on to quite a bit of music there. So my friends from Kings Mountain, two young fellas, really good and into a lot of music, and we started ourselves off as the Wacky Package. The big thing of ARC was promoting local music, so we started our shows always with the anti-scene, the local Charlotte Destructo band celebrating their 30th year coming up. I mean, it could be Patsy Cline after anti-scene. It just didn't matter. We just went for it.
So tell us about some of your experiences being on air. You had some colorful memories, I'll say.
Well, I think our first night would be a Halloween story. The weather was terribly nasty. I mean, it was really cold out, snowing in the high country, and raining, the storms and stuff. And so we were kind of apprehensive, like, geez, do we go on? But there's nobody to call, to sub, or anything like that, and the show must go on. So we forge on and go up there. And our big worry is that we're not really trained on the EBS system, the emergency broadcast, in case something really does happen. So about an hour into being on the air, sure enough, the buzzers go off, and Michael goes over and wrestles with the computer and gets the report off of it, and they delegate me to read it, so I read this bad weather report. It was really funny because you just got to read it verbatim. And when it was all done, this little old man called us up, and he just said, "I just want to thank you for reading that weather report. I was really curious, and you boys were all right." And I said, "Sir, have you been listening to us long?" And he said, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Are you into this music? Because we've been playing anti-scene, Black Flag, and just all kinds of crazy stuff." And he said, "Yes, a little bit crazy music, but y'all good fellas, and reading that report right and everything. I just sit up late and love," and he loved WNCW and was thankful that it went 24 hours. And that was our first night. And when this old man gave us the approval, we just felt like nothing could go wrong. We were blessed.
Well, those were heady days, and it had to be a fantastic experience. Now, that was your first time on the radio, is that right?
That's correct. That's correct, Jeff. For all three of us, it was myself, Michael Phillips, and Matt Wellborn, the true Wacky Package.
So you would have contests and things and send out little prizes and so forth?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. We were encouraged by when Burr and Greg said, "Why are people listening? Because they want to be awake or need to be awake." And we had to stay awake above all. You know, we were all pretty tired, so we, you know, jacked up on caffeine and just funness. We always had a question we would ask people. We'd tell them to call up, and we'd give away something. And our question was, "What would your name have been had you been born of the opposite sex?" And we just asked that same question to everybody. And it always got a good laugh, and, you know, and most people know it. And so we would just find some just silly things, put them in a package, and mail them off. And with, you know, an attitude like this from us, we developed a mailing list. I mean, people planned parties when the Wacky Package DJ'd. And we would just have fun. You know, and not a whole lot of people are calling between 2 and 6, but the ones who did, we did them right. You know, they would just say they're having a party, they'd make some requests. We'd do our best to get everything in and just keep the party rolling. So that was the best thing, having a mailing list. We got to meet some people. That was fun. We had Jeff Clayton on air with us one night. It was really funny. He was asking anyone to come down and wrestle with him. Didn't get any takers, unfortunately, but it was a worthy cause.
Jeff Clayton from Anti-Scene?
Jeff Clayton from Anti-Scene, yes. he had a good request for his ride home. It was Sister Ray by Velvet Underground. I don't think that one gets played on the air too long. Not the 20-minute version.
Yeah, have you ever heard of the Lester Bangs Sister Ray test?
No.
Well, you know, Lester Bangs, the famous rock critic, had the Sister Ray test because everybody had a copy of White Light, White Heat, but whenever he would meet someone, he would go and inspect their copy of White Light, White Heat and specifically look at the song Sister Ray, and he could tell if they were going to be his friend or not, whether it had been worn down much more than the rest of the record.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's the litmus test on that record, I do believe. Wow. Wow.
Well, in the early 90s, the musical landscape was shifting. Alternative was, you know, the new thing. What is some of your favorite music from that era?
God, I was a big Butthole Surfers fan. That was really one of my big ones. I liked the record label Touch and Go. You had Big Black, gosh, Scratch Acid. And then, wow, you're really reaching back. Nick Cave, anything he was doing. Birthday Party was, I believe, done by then. Well done by then. But, you know, then there was Nick Cave stuff, Swans. Gosh. Then, well, Michael and Matt were into rap and stuff like that. You had your Public Enemy and things like that, which I didn't know a whole lot about, but I was definitely entertained by. God, you had Bauhaus, Love and Rockets. Cramps are always good. You know, and I'll tell you one thing, learning some of the music at WNCW was a major treat for us. All the records and stuff there, Marshall Ballou's collection, which we barely touched because you just felt it was sacred territory. But all the CDs, we learned Austin Lounge Lizards. And one person who became our favorite was Bongo Joe Coleman. It was a Bill Buczynski classic, and we tried to carry on with that. What were you listening to at that time?
And I was listening to a lot of those things. I remember all of those bands that you mentioned, and it's funny to go back and revisit that era. I've pulled out a lot of the music from the playlists that Arc Overnight was featuring from 92, and bands like Ween, Afghan Whigs.
Oh, yeah.
Well, how long did you stick with ARC, and have you kept a hand in music since then?
I think we did it for a little over a year, maybe two. I believe Matt and Michael made a faux pas one night. Bill Buczynski had a friend, this guy Paul. He would come and hang out in the studio with us, and he was a real character. I don't know where that fellow is today, but there would always be some extra hijinks if Paul came and paid us a visit. I think it may have been a night I was not there. I don't know what they did exactly, but they were asked to not return. It was nothing terrible as far as they would never steal anything or anything like that, but just their hijinks in the studio. And I believe they played a Butthole Surfers song, which we have a tape of. Which had a lot of profanity. They didn't. When the CDs came in, it was off, and I believe it was off Independent Worm Saloon. And it wasn't marked. This song wasn't. So the FBI song, they played it. They'd left the studio room. And then they came back in, and it was like, oh my God! And it was too late. And one of the chiefs of WNCW just happened to be up late night and heard it. I said, get those boys off of there. We stuck with it for a good while. It was really tough. I admire anybody who does it and yourself, because I hear you, even back in the day, I'd hear you quite a bit, and then I'd hear you at sometime during the day, too. So it's like, what's your sleep schedule? You've got to have the crazy sleep schedule because you're just up till 6 a.m.,
It was called I Was in My 20s.
Yeah, when you were invincible and you could drink tons of coffee and just recover. Yeah. But it's, I mean, Arc Overnight was a real good catalyst for WNCW for just being even better. I guess a big thing beyond Arc Overnight was pivotal in helping to raise money for the translator antennas in Boone, Banner Elk, and even here in Charlotte before that, doing fundraisers and stuff. I know up in Boone we had Southern Cultural and the Skids and some bands play at local clubs and just raising money. Southern Cultural and the Skids, definitely a staple to WNCW there. And happy, you know.
Yeah, we were playing Southern Cultural and the Skids back in the beginnings of Arc Overnight and still play them on any hour of the day till this day.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been around, what, 86 or right before then. Oh, and off the thing, there's a fella, Kent Thompson, who photographed at the Milestone in the 80s. And he has just released tons of photos of bands. I mean, from Flaming Lips, Minor Threat, Exploited, to Southern Cultural and the Skids, to Naked Ramblers, to, gosh, you know, just tons of stuff on Facebook. And their North Carolina History Museum is doing a chronological project on the evolution of alternative music in North Carolina. They're currently working on this. So if you have any input, Joe?
Yes.
Or anyone, you don't have to put that on the tape, but that's for you.
We'll have to jump in. Well, Roger, it's been great talking with you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Arc Overnight, WNCW, just a world of music and just wonderfulness. I mean, that's all I listen to. I don't need any Pandora or anything like that. I just listen to WNCW. I get turned on to more music all the time and stay abreast of local and cultural events that are definitely not going to happen on XM radio or any of that stuff.
We're celebrating the 20th anniversary of Arc Overnight on WNCW. I'm Joe Kendrick talking with Roger Raymer. Thanks, Roger, and happy anniversary to Arc Overnight.
Absolutely, Joseph. Absolutely.